So some of you are veterans of new wine. Whether it's going to happen this year, I guess it's doubtful. But Jenny and I have got a longer heritage. We are veterans of something called Royal Week. It was a forerunner of spring harvest and new wine and such festivals. We were young at the time, so to be honest, it was a little while ago, about 40 years. But extraordinarily, I can remember one of the talks that was given. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Jenny and I were so impressed by this talk that we actually got the t-shirts as well. I told you we were young, but we had t-shirts that said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And that talk at Royal Week was given by a youngish Tony Campolo. He'd taken the title from the famous preacher Lockridge. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Always so pertinent, but especially in times like this of Corona. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Our faith in Christ always brings together suffering and new life, death and resurrection. Our faith is always about sure hope that God's kingdom will come. The agony of Good Friday becomes the glory of Easter Day. As the psalmist writes, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. We can indeed rejoice that God in his love, grace and mercy, in that resurrection comes. We can rejoice that this time of Corona will come to an end. But as our faith tells us, you cannot skip quickly to Sunday, to resurrection. We have to recognise and live in the reality of it's Friday. There has to be lament, sorrow, grief, if we're truly to know and learn from our existence. In all situations, we are to go on seeking the God of love, who's often disguised but never absent. There's a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations for a reason. Pain, suffering, the need for lament and repentance is simply a fact of life. But even that author, in his great sorrow, is sustained by hope in God. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail, he says. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Always hope. God's compassions never fail. Great is his faithfulness. The reality of Friday and Sunday is where we have to live, knowing that God is always present. And these two Bible readings are actually part of the Sunday lectionary for today, pick up surely on all of these things. In both readings, there is death, dying, the glory of new life, resurrection. Readings that are full of glorious hope and truth, but also the pain of suffering and death. The Ezekiel passage is about the raising of a dead nation, the valley of dry bones coming to life. The John passage in the raising of Lazarus is a beautiful personal story about the preciousness of life, new life after death. National and personal accounts that tell us that our God is the God of resurrection. In him, new life does, will come. But to say again, neither of these accounts skip quickly to the joy of resurrection. They profoundly reflect on the trauma, deep sadness, awfulness of death and dying. So look at both these passages in outline briefly. First of all, the resurrection of a nation in Ezekiel. It's been said that you never invited an Old Testament prophet to dinner more than once. And how that must have been the case for Ezekiel. For 24 chapters of his writings, he was a prophet of inexorable doom. He was speaking in around 593 BC into the catastrophe of the collapse of the nations of Israel and Judah and their exile in Babylon. Exile tells the remnant of Israelites that disaster has come upon them because they are, quote, an obstinate and rebellious people. Ezekiel's vision over these first chapters is so grim and graphic that there was a move amongst Jewish leaders in the first century AD to have it removed from public use. In Ezekiel's own time, his message was so unpopular that the locals tied him up so he couldn't go on preaching. You can see in chapter 3, please don't get any ideas. Ezekiel, though, was sustained by two things. First, early on, he was given a glorious vision of heaven. You can see it in chapter 1. There is glory beyond this life, the new heaven, the new earth, sure hope. All of us who seek to serve God need to hold on to this glorious vision. Heaven is our home. Second, Ezekiel is sustained by God's word being taken into his whole being. Quite literally, he eats a scroll with God's word on it in chapter 2 to chapter 3. And it's said that on both sides of the scroll were written words of lament and mourning and woe. So in his deep faith in God, with his vision of heaven, vision of glory, and taking the deep word of God into his life, Ezekiel was not afraid to tell it as it is. No easy skipping to the love and mercy of God, no triumphalism that tries to deny the reality of the mess we are in. And yet Ezekiel knows that the God of love and mercy is still at work. There have been hints early on in the book, for example, chapter 11, where we first hear a key message of the book. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then comes this wonderful vision of chapter 37. In exile in Babylon, Israel are a dead people, just like piles of bones, very dry, long dead. And God raises them by the power of his word and spirit. Prophesy, he says, preach. Ezekiel does so. I prophesied as I was commanded. And the living word of God then invades the valley of the shadow of death. The spirit Ruach is at work, bringing new life and the promise of resurrection, of restoration, which of course happens for the people of Israel when they're allowed to return home to be a nation again around 50 years later. This word Ruach, spirit, is used 10 times in these 14 verses of Ezekiel, and it is used in three different ways: for the spirit of God, for the breath of man, and the breath of the wind. The implication is surely that resurrection for a nation, restoration, comes through a combination of God, man, and nature being in harmony, listening to, accepting God's word. So Ezekiel talks about the resurrection of a nation. The story of Lazarus brings the power and poignancy down to the individual. So much that we could draw from this account, how the shock, bitterness, sheer grief of death has to be experienced before the power of resurrection truly comes. Jesus, of course, knew that Lazarus would rise, but again for him, that did not mean he skipped straight to triumphalism. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus wept, the account tells us. And there's a direct anger of Martha coming up to Jesus and confronting him. If only you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. And perhaps more woundingly, there's Mary's quiet, subdued disappointment in him, kneeling at his feet, saying the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. There's an honesty of grief and lament that will amplify the miracle of new life that is about to happen. After the bitterness of death and disappointments in Jesus, how everything must have been so different after Lazarus is raised. Lazarus himself must have been a changed man, surely. You would, wouldn't you, have a much greater appreciation of life. And so for Martha and Mary too, this family enjoying new life together again. Surely never again would you take for granted the food you eat, the health you have, the beauty of nature, the love of family and friends. Surely if you lost all these things and then were given another chance of life, you would be changed. You surely wouldn't be grumpy or complaining. You would surely treasure every day, every moment. You would know how precious this life is. And you would be so grateful, wouldn't you, to Jesus, to God, wouldn't you, for all that he has done for you. Imagine then the gratitude of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, reunited as family. And so now, as we are in this time of crisis, what can we learn from the biblical accounts of first, the raising of a nation, and second, the raising of an individual? In summary, there is hope in all situations. Hope is truly the hallmark of our faith. Our God is indeed the God of resurrection, bringing new life. God's presence may be disguised, but he is never absent. We can, must, like Ezekiel, keep to the fore the glorious reality of heaven that will come. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, sin, death, and the devil have been overcome. There will be a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, and God will wipe every tear from our eyes. Like Ezekiel in his glorious vision, we know that this kingdom is there, will come, and we are to watch, work, and pray for its fulfillment. And then also for now, though, we cannot focus only on the joy of resurrection. There has to be mourning, lament, grief expressed. We have to fully appreciate, understand what has happened. We have to call on the power of God. We have to be people of his word, ingesting the scriptures and encountering the word made flesh, Jesus. We have to seek the power of Ruach, the Holy Spirit, humanity and nature working in harmony. And we have to be changed. After crisis, when we're given new life, we cannot go back to where we were. We surely have to have a greater appreciation of life and its fragility. We have to learn to live in a different way. It is our grief and lament in this time of the coronavirus that will make sure that we do change, recognizing what we've lost and the even greater loss that could have occurred. The crisis of corona is bad enough, but we're told it could be far worse. Apparently, there are a whole reservoir of viruses waiting to skip species and wipe out mankind. We've had several misses just over the recent years, in the last 15, 20 years, SARS, swine flu, Ebola, and the climate change crisis has not gone away. The existential threat is still there. Now, through this crisis, we have to learn and change, to lament, repent, and seek God. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Hold the two together, the sure hope and joy, and the grief, mourning, lament, deep learning, and know that God is ever present. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, but his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen.